God is good. And all the time. Good morning. It is great to see each and every one of you. Thank you so much for being here today. I see that you successfully set your clocks correctly for this morning. And I don't know about you. I love spring, but the 1 hour less sleep, I don't know, guys. Isn't it 9 o'clock? Time for Sunday school, isn't it? But anyway, thank you so much for being here. My name is Eric Dirks, and I'm one of the pastors here, and it is great to welcome you on what looks to be a beautiful day. Amen? If you would turn in your bulletin to your announcement sheet for just a moment, notice that it's time for lilies, Easter lilies, so make sure if you're interested in purchasing an Easter lily and you would like them in honor or in memory of someone, make sure you fill that out and put it in the offering basket later on in the service. Also, don't forget what I like to call our Cliff Notes. It's our study guide for this week. It goes along with the sermon today. And if you'd keep this beside your prayer chair, along with your joys and concerns that are on your bulletin that Jay will bring to us later on, this will give you a great way to start your day in your devotional life and your relationship with God. In regards to our announcements, there are a lot of great announcements. Every single one of these are very important. As you can see, we're squeezing them in there, so make sure you pay attention to those. We have Project Graduation coming up that, of course, Warren Hunt is sponsoring, and make sure that you go and support that. The dates and the times are there. Sports and Rec team is starting a kickball. That is not a joke. This is the real thing now. I almost dismissed the email when I received that a couple weeks ago, but Kickball League is going to start. So Mike Shockman right over there, if you're interested in that, make sure you speak with him. We're still in need of nursery volunteers for this service. If we can get enough volunteers, I mean, you know, you might work every other month. If we get enough, every third month or something like that during the service. That's a very important ministry in the life of this church. And so I ask that you take that into serious consideration as it would be a great help for this church. Don't miss the silent beef auction as well. Carrie and Mildy Brashears have donated a beef to be auctioned off. It's right out there, not the beef, but the silent auction is going on right out there in the entryway. Make sure you take part in that. All of that, the funds from that, all of the funds from that will help us in our raising money for our bus. So we're really excited about that. Also, I want to let you know again that a great person in the church has said, hey, you know what, and so we can get this bus and get it taken care of, for every dollar that the church raises, I'm going to match that. So if you can give $10, well, that becomes $20 towards the van. If you can give $50, that becomes $100. So make sure that you just help us in raising funds for this bus. It is so important because, for instance, our youth takes, I've lost track now, 8 vehicles on mission trips and stuff like that.
11.
Oh, 11.
Wow.
11 vehicles to WOW down in Springfield this last winter. Also, our gadabouts have to not only use our van, but at least get one other van whenever they go gadding about. So, you like how I use that, Mavis? Yeah. She's not even listening to me. I love you. But anyway, so that is a very important, or will be a very important ministry in the life of this church. Now, one last thing that's very important. Look under today's happenings. Do you see what's going on from 1 to 3? Somebody is having a birthday party. Who might that be? Yeah, Ann Massey, 80th birthday party. And her family is here to support her, and so make sure that you come to that. It's from 1 to 3 downstairs in the fellowship hall. So, again, thank you so much for being here today. Don't forget your connection card. It will tear out. There's a little perforation there. If you might have to fold it back and forth a couple times, put your name, address, telephone number on that. Also, the other side of that card is important as well. If you take time to look at that, fill out anything that you might be interested in that regard, and put it in the offering basket later on the service when it comes by you. If you're visiting with us, first of all, I want to welcome you. Thank you so much for being here. If you would for sure fill out this connection card and put that in the offering basket, that way we can greet you properly and say thank you so much for being here today. Are you ready for a great worship service today? Oh, I don't know. Did that sound like they were too sure? Are you ready for a great worship service today?
Yes.
Excellent. What are you supposed to say, right, Anita? All right. You want to kick us off there, Mark?
With the praise team, how great thou art.
Consider all the worth. scarce can take it in, that on the cross my burden gladly buried, he bled and died to take away my sin. Then sings my soul,
we give you thanks and praise for this day. We thank you so much for the amazing sunshine that you've gifted us with today. We thank you so much for this church and the ability to gather together, Lord, to worship you, to focus our hearts and our minds and our souls upon you, Lord. You are great and amazing. You are an awesome creator, God, and we thank you so much for everything, Lord. For everything that we experience through you. We thank you, God, for those things that you protect us from as well, for those gifts that maybe we're not ready for yet. We give you thanks and praise that you're thinking of us. Now, Lord, as we gather together, we know that you are present here with us. But we want to be deliberate in asking for your presence. Anoint us fully with your Holy Spirit, God. Guide us and direct us in this worship service. May you anoint us in a way that all evil and negative thoughts run scared from this place, God. May your bright light shine in our souls and light every dark corner that may be there, God. We love you and we thank you, and that's why we're here today. Anoint us. Make us one with you. And one with each other in Jesus' holy, holy name. Amen. Sing with us this morning.
You paint the night. You count the stars and you call them by name. The skies proclaim God, you reign. Your glory shines. You teach the sun when to bring a new day. Creation sings God, you reign. God, you forever and ever.
Kiddies to come down, and I see the biggest kid in the world coming down here right now, Mickey Lane. You kid at heart anyway, right? All right, Mickey.
Sing with me.
I love Jesus.
I love Jesus.
Yes, I do.
Yes, I do.
I love Jesus.
I love Jesus.
How about you?
How about you?
Jesus, yes I do.
I love Jesus, how about you?
I love Jesus.
I love Jesus.
Yes I do.
Yes I do.
I love Jesus.
I love Jesus.
How about you?
How about you?
I love Jesus, yes I do.
Good morning. It's so good to see everybody here. I see some of my kindergarten friends and everything. I have a story I want to share with you today, and I want to tell you before I start. This is based on a story from the Bible, but this is a book that was given to me, probably 10 years ago, by my good friends Lori and David Scott, because I used to babysit their kids a lot of time when they went out of town, and when they did, they came back, they usually brought me a present, and this is one of the presents they brought me, and it's called The Other Brother. And like I said, it's based on a story from the Bible. And I'm going to let you hold the mic for me and have to hold it way up here. And I'll show you the pictures as I read. It's a little different, but the story is the same as the one in the Bible. The Other Brother. It's kind of got a Western theme. There was a man who had two boys. His only sons, his pride and joy. He hoped one day that they'd run his farm and keep the animals safe from harm. The first son's name was Malachi, hard-working boy, though kind of shy. He was the best to rope and ride. He liked to stand by his pop's side. Now, who's his pop? His dad, right? The second son was Benjamin. He was tall and kind of thin. He loved to spend his spare time fishing, dreaming dreams and always wishing. Ben, that's the younger one, said to Pops, "I need some money. I need to go where it is sunny." He packed his things and waved goodbye to his dear pops and Malachi. Ben spent his cash on a big boat and went to see his boat to float. At last he got his wish. Now all day long he'd fish for fish. Before too long, some friends stopped by to give his boat a little try. They greeted Ben all hale and hearty and said, "Let's throw a floating party." They rocked and rolled upon the sea. They laughed and joked and watched TV. They ate his food and drank his drink. And then Ben's boat began to sink. His friends got mad and went away. Without a boat, no one would stay. Ben said, "You guys, this isn't funny. My boat is sunk. I'm out of money." Poor Ben was broke. Now he was stuck, out of friends and out of luck. He got a job with Farmer Boggs. He cleaned the barn and fed the hogs. The pay was poor, and Ben worked hard. What he would give for beans and lard. He worked from dawn to dark of dusk. He was so starved, he ate corn husks. One day, while Ben ate with the hogs, he said, "This life is for the dogs. Working for pops was better than this." He thought of all the things he missed. And so Ben told old Boggs goodbye. He would go home, his luck to try. He hoped his pops would take him in to feed the pigs and clean their pen. As soon as Ben stepped in the yard, he knew this meeting would be hard. He sobbed and fell onto his knees. "Forgive me, pops. I beg you, please." Pop walked up and took Ben's hand. He hugged him tight and helped him stand. "When you left, I thought you died. Welcome home, my son," Pops cried. Pops gave to Ben the very best of cowboy boots and leather vest. He said, "Dear Ben, how I missed you. Now we shall have a barbecue." Against the fence leaned Malachi. A jealous look was in his eye. "It's just not fair," he said to Pops. "Ben blew it bad, and now he's tops." Pops said, "My son, now don't you see what's mine is yours? You stayed with me. When Ben left home, we feared him dead. Now he's back. Let's rejoice instead." Now, that's the end. And like I said, this is based on a story from the Bible. Thank you. This is called Prodigal Son in the Bible. That's the name of the story in the Bible. And maybe you could have your mom and dad or somebody read that to you. But remember, Jesus loves all of you that come to church, and he loves the ones that just find him even later in life. And what our job is, if we come every week to church and we know Jesus, is to try and help other people know that too. Okay? One last thing I want to tell you before you get your cups to go get money. You know all that money that you give or that people give out there? What do you think it does? Yeah, they give you money in the cups, and the church uses that money, and it uses it for all kinds of ways to help people all around the world. In fact, I will bet right now that there's probably some of the United Missouri or Methodist Committee on Relief in Japan, probably as we speak, helping the people there that have gone through that terrible tragedy. What do you think those people would say if somebody brought them food or water or helped them find a place to live? Would they be grateful for that? What would they say? They would say thank you. Yes. Are they here? Are those people here? No, they're not. So they can't tell all these people thank you, can they? But you know what you can do? Just something real little. When people put money in your cup, you can say thank you for those people. Could you do that? They're strangers. The people here, they're all part of your family, your church family, aren't they? Why don't we say a little prayer before we go? Heavenly Father, I just thank you for each young person here and for all the families they represent. Thank you for moms and dads that bring their children to church and that help their children to know you. And we ask that you be with everybody as they go through this coming week and help us be good witnesses for you, Lord, and help us to bring others to you. All these things we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
As the children gather their cups and collect change, we will sing our song of praise. This is my song, number 437 in the blue hymnal. Certainly have a joy for this beautiful sunshine, as Eric mentioned. The springtime is on its way. Fishing season has begun. And spoonbill season opens Tuesday, which me and my uncle like that. But as we look forward to the springtime, we want to remember all of those that are in need of our prayers. We want to remember especially the people in Japan this morning that are suffering, that have lost loved ones for the many, many lives that have been lost. We just want to remember them. We want to remember all the places that have been affected recently by earthquakes, the people that have been affected, even as close as Arkansas was affected. So in a major disaster like this, they need our prayers very badly. And prayer works, as we all know. Also on the back of the bulletin, if you will take note of those people that are, we ask that you remember in your prayers. There's quite a list of them. Also the ones in a nursing home and assisted living residence, we want you to lift those up. We have a special thanks that's noted there. Our church family, for your thoughts, prayers, food, and help during the time of our brother's hospitalization, death, and funeral. Special thanks to Pastor Eric for his visit and funeral service. Also, a special thanks to the ladies who served lunch after the funeral. We feel greatly blessed to be lifted up by such a super church family, Bob and Mary Norton. Every time there's a crisis in this church, whether it be the death of a loved one or the death of a friend or whatever, this church responds, and I just thank the good Lord for that. So let's go to the Lord in prayer now. Lord God, we lift up the nation of Japan this morning. We just ask that you be with the ones that are suffering, in need of food. May you nourish them. And the ones that are thirsty, give them drink. Lord, those that have lost loved ones, give them strength. Lord God, we just ask that you reach out, lift them up, help them to survive. And Lord, we just thank you for all of the people that are responding to give them aid. We just pray for them that they will be kept safe and out of harm's way. And Lord God, we lift up each and every one of these people listed on our bulletin. We just ask that you will touch each heart, give them warmth, give them strength, give them better health as you see the need. Lord, help us to be aware of those that aren't listed. Help us to be aware each and every day of the people that need your touch, need to know about you, that we might reach out and help them in whatever way they need. And Lord God, we just praise you for the church that we have, that we can come and fill the pews and worship you, Lord. And we thank you for the people that lead us, our pastors, our choir, our musicians. We just thank you for all of them. And Lord God, we thank you for each and every person that is here. And we just praise your blessings on the rest of this service. These things we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Now the chancel choir will perform Ezekiel Saw the Wheat.
Thank you, choir. Did you notice two keyboardists over here? Did you see that?
Yeah. Nicely done. If you would turn in your Bibles to Corinthians, 1 Corinthians chapter 1. This is the letter that Paul wrote to the church in Corinth. We've been walking through Corinthians the past week, and we'll continue to do so probably for the next 6 weeks or so. But in 1 Corinthians 1... give you some time to turn there. Kansas Jayhawks, huh, Tyler? Okay. Once you have that, hold your place and please stand. Okay. If it's on your iPhone, raise your iPhone. If it's on your Kindle, raise your Kindle. If you've got a book, raise it high. Everyone say with me the Bible pledge. This is my Bible.
I am what it says I am.
I can do what it says I can do.
I can have what it says I can have.
Today I will be taught the Word of God.
I boldly confess that my mind is alert
and my heart is receptive.
I am about to receive the incorruptible,
indestructible, ever-living seed of the Word of God.
I will never be the same.
Never, never, never.
I will never be the same. In Jesus' name, amen.
1 Corinthians chapter 1, in verse 10. Now I appeal to you, brothers and sisters, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that all of you be in agreement and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be united in the same mind and the same purpose. Here ends the reading of God's holy word.
Thanks be to God.
You may be seated.
Before I begin this morning, I just want to say a big thank you for all of you who attended Ash Wednesday service. We had a great crowd that night, and it was just a wonderful service. Our choir sang for us that night, as well as the praise team. And so as those that came that night know that Ash Wednesday begins what season in the church?
Lent,
that's right. And it's 40 days between now and Easter, not counting what day of the week. And why wouldn't we count Sunday? That's right, little Easter. So, guys and gals, But anyway, we're supposed to have a party on Sunday. So, you know, what can I say? Come with your party hat on every Sunday between now and Easter, right? Can you do that for me? Okay, boy, that was really sad, guys. Andrew, we got a Whitman shape here. But anyway, thanks so much for coming for that. And we will lean forward into Easter between now and then, which is coming quick. So as we continue in Lent in an introspective way, looking at ourselves in the mirror to see really who we are and how God can help us in our life. Well, a very interesting thing happened a few years ago in the NFL playoff game between Indianapolis and Pittsburgh. Trailing by 18 points late in the third quarter, Indianapolis faced a 4th-and-2 in their own end of the field. Coach Tony Dungy made the standard decision and sent out his punting team. However, as the punting squad was jogging onto the field, the cameras caught Indianapolis quarterback Peyton Manning shooing them off the field with his arms and his voice saying, "Go back! Go back!" He made the decision on his own that the team was going to go for the first down in a 4th-and-2 situation. And for a few seconds, the team was quite confused. Do we listen to Coach Dungy? Or do we listen to our quarterback? Which is it going to be? Well, that particular play, it ended up going well for Indianapolis. They ended up getting a first down, but unfortunately they ended up losing that game. Some of you may remember that. But in all my years of watching football, I have never seen anything like that, or at least I've never been aware that anything like that has taken place. The players had to make a choice in a split second. Who were they going to follow? Were they going to follow their coach? Were they going to follow their quarterback? You know, I wonder even today if we were to ask Coach Dungy what he was thinking that day whenever his quarterback did that. I just wonder how he felt about him taking over the team that day. Because if a football team is divided over who they follow, chaos will come to their team and they will never be able to succeed. You know, the same thing is true with the church. The church may have all sorts of important players, or quote-unquote quarterbacks, who lead their congregation, but if the other players in the church start to get confused about who is ultimately leading their team, chaos will come to the team and the church, and they'll never be able to succeed. Well, last week, we began a teaching series on one of Paul's letters to the church in Corinth, and Justin and I decided to call this teaching series 1 Corinthians, Christians Gone Wild. There were many things going on in Corinth and the Corinthian church that would warrant that title, which we'll get into in the next few weeks. But in this one-sided conversation of this book we call 1 Corinthians, we begin to see that division was taking place among their ranks in this infant church. If you remember from last week, Paul spent about 18 months in Corinth building this church. He'd only been gone for 3 years, and the church was falling apart. It was already having issues. And it seems that in the time since he'd been there, the church had benefited from the teaching and leadership of a couple different quote-unquote quarterbacks. Men like the Apostle Paul lifts up Apollos and Cephas or Peter. So after building up the church, reminding them that as a church, they lack no spiritual gift and can trust in God to be faithful to the end, he addresses this problem. Now, you have to understand, Paul is not concerned that people may prefer Apollos or Peter's leadership to his. His real concern is that the church has taken its focus off of Jesus Christ as the leader of the church, and is drawing into factions which follow earthly teachers instead. It's easy to see how this happened to them, because the same thing happens today, doesn't it? People feel drawn to a certain leader. We all do it, whether it's a preacher or a teacher or a coach or some political leader or whatever. We follow personalities. We tend to follow personalities, don't we? You all right out there, June? Oh, your party hat. I like that. She took that literally.
Only my wife. What can I say? I've lived with that for 42 years.
I like that. Where are all y'all's hat? Oh, okay, next Sunday you'll have them on, all right. But anyway, don't we follow personalities? I mean, that is the way our culture, well, actually, maybe it's the way humanity is, because the church has had issues with this from the very, very beginning. We may be drawn to a certain teacher because of their style or their teaching or because of the content that they are teaching, or maybe that particular pastor brought them to know and have a relationship with Jesus Christ. Or maybe in the church's situation, the pastor was there at a particular difficult time in their life, and so that is why they're drawn to that person. But when this happens in the church, which is supposed to be united under Jesus Christ as their leader, the church becomes divided. And we can hear Paul's appeal echoing across the centuries. He says, "Now I appeal to you, brothers and sisters, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that all of you be in agreement, and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be united in the same mind and the same purpose." You know, it's interesting, in Ephesians, Paul writes something very similar, and it makes you wonder if that church wasn't having issues with the same thing. In Ephesians, "Make every effort to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit," Paul says, "just as you were called to the one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in all." If we turn back, and I hope you still have your Bibles, turn back to 1 Corinthians that Justin read for us earlier, and turn to verse 11. verse 11. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 11. The Apostle Paul says, "For it has been reported to me by Chloe's people that there are quarrels among you, my brothers and sisters. What I mean is this. What I mean is that each of you says, 'I belong to Paul,' or 'I belong to Apollos,' or 'I belong to Cephas,' or 'I belong to Christ.' Has Christ been divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Or were you baptized in the name of Paul?" You see, what was happening was certain divisions of people were thinking they were better than the other people. And we'll learn later on in 1 Corinthians that some had the gift of prophecy and some had the gift of tongues and some had other gifts. And each one thought that their gift was better than the other. Right? In this case, he's saying people that follow Apollos are better than the people that follow Paul. Are you following me? Are you following Apollos? No. Is Paul's answer, right? Who are they supposed to be following? Jesus Christ, right? That's who they are supposed to be following. He continues, "I thank God that I baptized none of you except Crispus and Gaius, so that no one can say that you were baptized in my name." Whose name are we baptized in? In the name of the Father and the So Paul doesn't enter in there, does it? Right? No, Paul doesn't enter in there at all. "For Christ did not send me to baptize, but to proclaim the gospel, and not with eloquent wisdom, so that the cross of Christ might not be emptied of its power." So we will be united when we choose to keep the main thing, the main thing. It was interesting, several years ago, our lay speaker for the annual conference for the state of Missouri in the United Methodist Church. If those of you who attended annual conference for several years, his big thing was, and it really became the catchphrase of the entire conference, "We have got to keep the main thing, the main thing, the main thing." And the main thing is, ladies and gentlemen, Jesus Christ. Right? So, the main thing for Paul, same thing, but Paul says Christ on the cross is the main thing. This is what Paul meant when he wrote in verse 17, God didn't send me out to collect a following for myself, but to preach the message of what he has done, collecting a following for him. And he didn't send me to do it with a lot of fancy rhetoric of my own, lest the powerful action at the center, Christ on the cross, be trivialized into mere words. Remember last week we talked about one of the things that these people idolized was eloquent speech and philosophical language and debate. Remember me talking about that? And remember it said that Paul, you know, he didn't have the best speech. Right? I mean, he had the unibrow going on. He was short, big nose, right? Bald. Right? So you know, yeah, he didn't come with eloquent speech. And Paul kind of got trash talked to as far as that's concerned by the churches. But he says, you know what? That's not why I'm here. I am here for the gospel of Jesus Christ. I didn't come with fancy rhetoric of my own, lest the powerful action at the center, let's say it together, Christ on the cross, be trivialized into mere words. So, what is the center? Christ on the cross. So who do we follow? Christ. We follow Christ, right? We don't follow Paul or Apollos or Peter or, for that matter, Eric or Justin or Jay or any other leader that's in this church. Who do we follow? We follow Christ, right? What God has done through Jesus has to remain center in all that we do. Let's say that together. What God has done through Jesus has to remain center in all that we do. Boy, what does that mean? What does that mean? What did Jesus stand for? Anyone? Salvation? What did Jesus stand for? Righteousness? If we focus on Jesus and we keep the main thing, the main thing, the main thing, Jesus boiled down into one statement all of the laws of Moses. And what was that? To love and love your... And you know what's interesting about that? Do you remember when Jesus told that parable about the Good Samaritan, right? And he's telling it because a Pharisee said, you know, asked him a question. And he tells him this story about the Good Samaritan where, you know, Samaritans were outcasts. They were nobodies. And yet two priests walk by this guy on the road. And finally a Good Samaritan, lo and behold, right, stops by and helps this guy and pays for a hotel stay and any medical care that this man might need, right? And guess what the next thing is that the Pharisee says? Well, who is my neighbor? Isn't that interesting? Why do we always want to limit our neighbors? I mean, really, who is my neighbor? I mean, when you think about it, what kind of question is that? Who are our neighbors? Yeah, I mean, are the folks in Japan, are they our neighbors? Absolutely. How about the people whom we have dug wells for? Not, I say we, don't I? I've never been to Mozambique. I kind of like to go. I've never been there. But yet I feel like I'm a part of the fresh water that a family is drinking because the United Methodist Church or Christians in general have been digging wells for people over there. Who are our neighbors, right? It doesn't necessarily have to be the person and the people, the family that live next to you. If we focus in on Jesus and the main thing of his message, loving God and loving people, we will not have time to worry about the other things that would try and divide us as Christians from each other, or what about other Christians as far as that's concerned? John Wesley, the founder of the Methodist movement, in making an appeal to toleration of diversity of theological opinion, he said this: though we may not think alike, may we not all love alike. Now, for those of you that may not know, John Wesley was the founder of the Methodist movement. John and Charles, brothers, John and Charles Wesley had no intention of beginning a new church. Right? They were just unhappy at the shallowness of the spirituality of people in their day. Does that sound familiar? And so they started having these small groups. Yeah, I know. I'd like to say we were the first ones that thought of it. Don't think so. You know, the amazing thing is Jesus started with 12, didn't he? Yeah. So even John Wesley wasn't the first one. Right? So that's who John Wesley is. And he says, though we may not think alike, we may not all love, or may, excuse me, that's backwards. May we not all love alike. Another saying that John people think of John Wesley when you hear this: in essentials, unity. In non-essentials, liberty. In all things, charity. Like the early church fathers, we need to keep the main thing the main thing. So what about us? We've been talking about this church in Corinth and how it was filled with sinful people. I mean, you know, we're not sinful people, are we? Right? We never disagree with each other, do we, Ray?
No.
Yeah, I didn't think so, as I'm standing over him. Right? But what about us? What have we been able to accomplish simply by working together in this church? Lift some things up. What have we been able to accomplish? Say it again. A Christian preschool in this church. What are some other things that this church has been able to do because we have worked together? Awesome volleyball team. There you go. And at least one of the basketball teams. But anyway, youth mission trips. The size of the youth group. Scout troop. Think 50 boys in the scout troop. Think about simply because of those two ministries in the church. I know Boy Scouts isn't literally a ministry of the church, but the United Methodist Church and this pastor definitely supports the Boy Scouts. Between the youth group and the Boy Scouts, think of the influence this church has on this community's youth. What else have we done simply by working together that we can praise God for? Going out and inviting folks? Proud of what's going on here? What? Trunk or treat, yeah? Sparks? That's a Wednesday after school program, Sparks, by the way. Huh? Family Fun Festival. Apportionments? That's our missional giving to the world, apportionments. Six prayer. Did you say this week? Listen to that, folks. Just this week, six prayer shawls to hospice.
Brought in a new associate pastor. I got him, man. He don't know what to say.
No, we are very blessed. We are very blessed. Very blessed. I enjoy working with Justin, and I hope he enjoys working with me. Just shake your head yes. Now let's reverse that a little bit. Let's reverse that. Through the years, and I'm talking about, you know, before some of us got here and even into the last 4 years, have there been things that we haven't been able to accomplish because of division in the church? Have there been things that this church has not been able to accomplish because of division? You know there are, right? Many of you probably are kind of worried about saying anything, but... Okay, volunteers. Oh, well, we were talking about volunteers for the nursery, too. So Family Fun Festival, that huge event that takes place right here on the church property, 8 people did that last year. Volunteers are needed for that. Volunteers are needed for... The amazing thing is, the unfortunate thing is, for some reason through the years, it seems like people have gotten the feeling, and it's for good reason because it's a reality, if you say yes to something, you're going to be doing it for the rest of your life. Has anybody ever felt that way? Yeah. But the interesting thing is, it's a numbers game. If enough people volunteer, that is not the case. Right? That is not the case. So let's, you know, we can think about that. If you volunteer to help out in certain ministry areas and if enough people do it, like for instance, the child care, you might be in there once every 3 months on a Sunday morning. One thing that just blows me away, and even before I came here, you were here for an entire year without an appointed pastor. Talk about a way to stick together. I mean, and you're seeing the energy behind that sitting in the pews today. Right? You know, if you turn in your study guide that Cliff... or what I like to say, Cliff Notes, the blue sheet, for Monday. Listen to some of these questions that Cliff raises. Has there been a time when your differing viewpoint led to divisiveness with another person or within a group? Have you experienced petty differences leading to divisiveness within a church? How were these problems resolved? What grade would you give our church right now on being united in mind and thought? So, you know, being united doesn't mean that we absolutely agree on everything, does it? Yeah, that would be boring, wouldn't it? Right? But it means that we want to work together. And I believe, as long, like John Wesley, if we keep the main thing, and that's Christ on the cross, Jesus Christ, then we can have grace in other places. We can conference together in other areas. So as part of this local church and as part of the worldwide Church of Jesus Christ, you have an important role in bringing unity to the church. Your comments, your attitudes, and actions have a strong effect on whether our local church is able to be united and successful in the work God has called us to do. Your comments and your attitudes, your actions have a strong effect on whether the greater church will be united and successful in the work of God, the work that God has called us to do as well. You know, in the coming years, I think the worldwide church has some pretty serious challenges. Amen? And I'm not going to say that I'm not just a little worried about it. Because I am. I am worried about it. And it's going to take some strong Christians to stand up and keep the church united. Because you know what? When we're united, we're strong. But when we are divided, we fall, right? That old saying is so true. That old saying is so true. United we stand, and divided we fall. I choose to stand. Amen? How about you? Let's pray. Dear God, you are an amazing God, and we give you thanks and praise for, well, just this church community. We thank you for its unity and the amazing things that these folks can do when you add your power to them, Lord. This church just is known throughout this community, thanks to you, God, because of our generous hearts and willingness to give and through the benevolence fund and things like that, God. And we just give you thanks and praise that we can do that we can work together, that we can get past our differences and remain unified, Lord. We love you and we thank you so much for that gift. Empower us to do even greater things. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Would you please stand with me if you are able and turn to O Church of God United. It's number 547 in your hymnals. Let's sing the stanzas 1, 2, and 3. O Church of God United.
Church of God united,
to serve one common Lord, proclaim to all one message
with hearts in glad accord. Christ ever goes before us, we follow day by day with strong and eager footsteps along the upward way from
As always, are celebrating that these wonderful folks, they have attended newcomers, and they, even though they spend 3 hours with me, they still want to join, which is amazing. And that's only because of you all, I tell you that right now. But Myrna and Bob and Debbie, we just thank you so much for coming before us today and wanting to join this congregation as you transfer your membership. Now, I'm going to ask you some questions, and you'll say, I do or I will, okay? On behalf of the whole church, I ask you, do you understand that there are evil powers in this world creating brokenness and suffering, working against God's plan of healing and wholeness? And do you pledge to daily ask for forgiveness for any thought, word, or action of your own that creates brokenness rather than wholeness? Do you accept the freedom, power, and responsibility God gives you to resist this evil that creates injustice and oppression? Do you confess Jesus Christ as your Savior, put your whole trust in His grace, and promise to daily and in every situation serve Him as your Lord, working together with the church, which Jesus has opened to all people, no matter what age, race, or social standing? According to the grace given to you, will you remain faithful members of Christ's holy church and serve as Christ's representatives in the world? You guys are good. Wow. Church community, would you please rise? Do you, as Christ's body, the church, reaffirm both your rejection of sin and your commitment to Christ? Will you nurture one another in the Christian faith and life and include these persons before you now in your care? With God's help, we will proclaim the good news and live according to the example of Christ. We will surround these persons with a community of love and forgiveness that they may grow in their trust in God and be found faithful in their service to others. We will pray for them, that they may be true disciples who walk in the way that leads to life. Amen. Please be seated. Now, as a member of Christ Universal Church, will you be loyal to the United Methodist Church and do all in your power to strengthen its ministries? As a member of this particular congregation, will you faithfully participate in its ministries by your prayers, your presence, your gifts, and your tithes? The membership covenant that you signed states, I will grow spiritually and support the spiritual growth of our church community. I will share in the purpose of our church community. I will find some way to grow in faith apart from Sunday morning worship, and I will protect the unity of our church community. Do you fully understand this covenant and promise to uphold it? Members of the household of God, am I turning and facing them now? Members of the household of God, I also entrust these individuals to your love and care. Do all in your power to increase their faith, confirm their hope, perfect them in love, and show them how a true community of faith stands with them in the crossroads of life. We give thanks for all that God has already given you, and we welcome you in Christian love as worshipers together with you in the body of Christ and in this community of the First United Methodist Church of Warsaw. We celebrate your decision to become a member of this church community. We prayerfully support you and look forward to our journey together. We renew our covenant faithfully to participate in the ministries of the church by our prayers, our presence, our gifts, and our service, that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. Amen. The God of grace, who has called us to eternal glory in Jesus Christ, establish you and strengthen you by the power of the Holy Spirit, that with God's power and freedom you may live in grace and peace. Please join me in welcoming these fine folks to our church family. Again, welcome and thank you so much. They've agreed to stand at the doors and greet you as you leave today, so please greet them nicely. Thank you all so very much.
At this time, if the ushers would come forward for our giving of our tithes and our offerings.
Closing song is number 536, Precious Name. Let's sing the first and second verse.
so much for being here today and worshiping with us. Our prayer is that you felt God's presence and that you are healed and energized for another awesome week. Amen. As you go from this place, remember that you are a child of God and you are not alone. And so as you go from this place, may that give you strength. May that give you courage. May that help you bring unity to this church and to the churches of this community. And you know what? Maybe even to the world. Amen. So go from this place with that comfort, with that confidence, knowing that God loves you so very much. In the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, may God go with you this week. Amen.